Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Throughout St. John's account of the Gospel, we see many motifs or themes which are repeated in relation to the person and ministry of Jesus Christ. One of these recurring themes, as Pastor Edwards mentioned, is water, or rather the lack of water, thirst, something that is common to all of our human experiences. Throughout the Gospel of John, we see many stories and events tied to Jesus which show him quenching the thirst of mankind. One such interaction is the well-known story of the Samaritan woman at the well. As Jesus encounters this woman, they have a rather interesting and strange dialogue. First, Jesus says to this woman, an outsider, a half-breed who expected to have no interaction with any Jew, much less a rabbi, "Give me something to drink." The woman responded not with a drink, but with query. "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" Okay, fine, but then comes an even more peculiar response from Jesus. He says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Later in John's Gospel, Jesus reiterates, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Water welling up to eternal life. A drink that slakes an eternal thirst. Sign me up. Jesus later tells a crowd, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." If you are thirsty, Jesus says, come to him. This invitation is beautiful and a bit odd. It's still later. The one who extends this invitation, the one who promises living water so that man will never be thirsty again, hangs on a cross naked, derelict, and dying. With nearly his last breath, this Jesus cries, "I thirst." Behold, the very well of living water, the fount of water welling up to eternal life, behold the rock that was cleft in the wilderness to give a wellspring of life-giving water to his thirsting, complaining people. Behold the one who created the waters that flow, the rivers that run, the oceans that surge, the water tables that nourish, and the springs that bubble. Behold the God who made 6 stone jars of water to be the choicest wine the wedding guest at Cana had ever tasted, with a vintage to satisfy their taste buds far beyond a simple banquet. Behold this man. He is thirsty. He is dried up, parched, with his tongue sticking like Velcro to the roof of his mouth, craving even a sip of sour wine from a sponge to satisfy him. Behold the man who thirsts. Having taken human flesh, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, eternal God in human form, now needs a drink of water in order to survive. Imagine that. If God does not drink, he will die. What do we make of this? The Creator of heaven and earth relies on an element of his own creation to get through his day-to-day. His tongue is like sandpaper. On the cross, his mouth blisters. He needs a drink. And you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, for what do you thirst? For what does your flesh ache and groan? Right now, probably not a drink of water. That is far too ordinary. Perhaps you thirst for money or riches, for power, influence, success, popularity, comfort, perhaps security. Maybe your thirst is still a little more basic, for just another swig, another brew, another pint, another glass of wine to numb the pain, to dull the senses, to make you forget the cruel realities of living in this sinful world. Maybe you thirst for more likes on your social media, for more reviews, more respect, a better salary. But you, dear brothers and sisters, like Jesus, are thirsty. But unlike Jesus, the thirst of man is a selfish thirst. Behold the man who thirsts for you. God has taken human flesh. Flesh like yours and mine that hungers and thirsts. Flesh that needs sustenance. Flesh which was beaten, abused, mocked, and nailed to a cross and hung until it thirsts for peril of its life. But this flesh is not thirsting so that he can live. He's thirsting because he can die. He's thirsting because he has flesh. He has flesh because he desires to save mankind. Behold the God who thirsts for you. Behold the man who empties himself so that you might be filled. Behold the man who has been cut off so that you, dear friends, could be grafted in. Behold the man who thirsts so that you might be eternally satisfied. The man who thirsts so that men might drink and never be thirsty again. Behold the man who is parched dry so that you might find in him a river of life. Behold the one who thirsts as he dies so that you would never die. Not a death like his. Not the big death. Not separation from God death. Not eternal torment death. Behold the man who thirsts and dies so that you may die and be satisfied. In him, your thirst, your desires, your every need is quenched. Every thirst is primal. It harkens back to the days in the Garden of Eden. Every thirst is eschatological. That is, it harkens forward to a new creation, to a river of life, to the renewed heavens and the renewed earth. Your thirsts, in other words, even when they seem shallow and distorted, are really thirsts for this one eternal wellspring, the river that flows and waters the whole earth anew. Thus you see that your thirst is good, for your thirst is a reminder of your Creator's provision in the garden. It is a harbinger of the draft that is still to come, a call to remain in Christ alone and him crucified, who offers you water which will quench your every thirst. Until that day, as you wander this wilderness between Eden and a new Eden, your thirst is still good. In the same way that hunger sharpens your stomach's desire for the very bread of life, the body of Christ, thirst chastens your taste buds to desire something more than mere temporal water, wine, or fulfillment. Thirst disciplines you to desire a heavenly draft. Until you can slake your thirst with the eternal water of life, there is a river from the Lord's altar, which he offers up to soothe your parched throat. This is the blood of him who bled for you, who thirsted for your fulfillment, who died so that you, dear brothers and sisters, might have life. From the chalice of the Holy Eucharist flows a river that gives you a foretaste of an eternal quenching, a stream that can and does fulfill your deepest thirst. Behold Christ, the man whose blood still flows for you. Behold the man who was dried up with a thirst so that your dry lips could be satisfied with the drink of his blood for true drink. Behold the man who thirsted. Behold the man who bids you thirst no more. Behold the man who is the headstream of a new drink, the very river of life, the water for which you thirst so deeply and intensely, whether you know it or not. Behold the man who is dried up, parched with thirst, so that you might be quenched with a water which flows to eternal life. Behold the man, the God who thirsts for your salvation. Behold this man, drink deeply. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in the same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.